Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus, and we pray that by your Spirit you would enable us to understand them. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, of course, the news over these recent days has been filled with stories about the Olympics. Earlier in the week, we heard how Team GB's Chris Mears and Jack Lauer won gold in the synchronised 3-metre springboard diving event. Now, this was remarkable, given the dominance of the Chinese in recent years, but also because of what had happened to Chris. Back in 2009, the budding diver was given a 5% chance of survival after contracting a rare virus. The illness resulted in him having his spleen removed and spending weeks in hospital after slipping into a coma. No one, as he lay unconscious on that hospital bed 7 years ago, could possibly have thought that they were looking at the first Olympic champion in British diving history. Well, sometimes small and unpromising beginnings can have unexpectedly amazing results. Well, that is something of what we learn as we continue to look at the early part of the Gospel of Mark. We've seen over recent weeks that Jesus has gone public with his mission. Travelling around the Galilee region where he had been brought up, he announced, chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." Now, as he teaches, something that he said explicitly was his priority, Jesus is slowly being revealed as the one with the authority of God himself. His teaching itself was seen to be with authority, unlike the religious teachers of his day. He showed authority over evil, authority over sickness, authority over people, calling not the self-sufficient, self-righteous, but rather those who humbly recognize that they are sinners. He even showed his authority to forgive sins. Well, he's taught in parables, and in order to provoke people into thinking seriously about what he said, he uses these stories with a meaning. And also, parables sift those who have ears to hear the good news from those who don't. Last week we heard Jesus' famous parable of the sower or the soils, which reminds us that though the message of the gospel is the same, people react to it in different ways. And that is an important lesson for those of us who do believe in Jesus and who find that together with others, we ourselves have become sowers, sharing the good news. It's a vital reminder to us because we shall not become despondent when people fail to believe, and yet we shall expect that in the grace of God, some will. Well, after further encouragements to listen to his message, Jesus continues to teach in parables, and he continues to use agricultural imagery. So that brings us to Mark chapter 4 that we read earlier, page 1012. Verse 26 goes like this. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." The situation with the kingdom of God, God's loving, saving rule in Jesus, is like a farmer who sowed seed in his field. Once he's sown it, he does nothing. He just gets on with life normally, going to bed and getting up. But despite his lack of activity, the seed germinates and sprouts and then grows. A small green shoot at first, and then a larger leaf, and then the grain starts to grow and swell. And once the farmer sees the grain is ready, he harvests it. Well, Jesus is making clear that the seed, that is the message of his word, as Jesus has explained, is what that means in the previous parable. The seed has power in it. Now, we've been warned in the parable of the sower that not all seed takes, because the soil of people's hearts is different. But this story encourages us to believe that some seed will take, and that indeed gospel seed will grow. As the seed in a field grows without a farmer doing anything other than sowing it in the first place, so gospel seed will grow. It will grow itself. It's not dependent on what the sowers, the messengers, do. Now, this is a great encouragement to Christians today, especially when we feel a little down because not as many seem to react positively to the gospel seed that we sow as we would want. Jesus assures us that when his message is shared, there will be some growth. The farmer sleeps, verse 25, and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And there will be a harvest too, verse 29. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Some will believe. Some will last. Some will themselves help others to believe in partnership with their fellow believers. So we need to hold our nerve. We don't need any secret extra something added to the gospel in order to make it grow. The gospel has power from God within itself. And when sown, there will be growth. Next year marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation, the rediscovery of the biblical gospel after years of confusion in the medieval Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther, the German monk, was at the forefront of a movement that, without exaggeration, can be said to have changed the world. But what was Luther's analysis of what happened? Well, he was clearly aware of the perspective of this story of Jesus. In 1522, he said that, having opposed false teaching, but never with force, I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, I did nothing. The word did it all. The parable of the growing seed shows that the seed of the gospel has power within it, and it will produce growth. Well, then Jesus tells what is usually called the parable of the mustard seed. That's in Mark 4, verse 30. And Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The smallest seeds which people would have planted in Jesus' day were from the mustard plant, or chordal. Its seeds were only a couple of millimetres in diameter. And yet the resulting bush, when fully grown, was surprisingly large. Certainly amazingly large when you consider what it came from. In this parable, Jesus is pointing to the reality that something tiny will become something huge. Now remember, at this stage in his life, there were only a few who had believed in Jesus, and there was significant opposition from the religious leaders. And we know, And as Jesus was soon to warn his friends, he was going to die as just a young man. Things seemed very small and very unpromising. And yet, Jesus is saying in this parable that the seed of the unimpressive gospel word will produce amazing results. That which was tiny will grow to something enormous. Now, we in the 21st century are aware of something of how the gospel of Jesus has spread throughout the world from its tiny beginnings in Israel. Now, millions and millions profess faith in Jesus, let alone those who have gone before. And we also know from the final book of the Bible that we plan to consider in the run-up to Christmas, that in heaven there will be, Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. All there because they have been made clean through the Lamb, Jesus' death, in their place. The kingdom of God, God's rescuing, loving rule, starts very small, but one day it will be gigantic in number and in scope. As we're going to sing in a few minutes, quoting words of the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, one day the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Well, how we need to keep remembering this. To us, things can seem small and insignificant, especially in a secularizing country. But around the world, the good news is spreading rapidly. In China, parts of Latin America and Africa. Opponents may well say Christianity is dying in its influence, but actually we are part of something that is extremely significant and one day will be enormous. Now there are hints in Jesus' imagery of the extent and the reach of the kingdom of God, which people enter by believing the message of Jesus' gospel word. The tiny seed, verse 32, when it is grown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Old Testament prophets like Daniel and, as we read earlier, Ezekiel were given messages from God involving large trees with nesting birds. And the birds represented the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews from the nations of the world. This huge influence of God's loving reign, his kingdom, will therefore include all kinds of people. What a reminder that is of the importance of sowing the seed of the gospel far and wide. Yes, locally, but also internationally. And it's great that we have the opportunity to do that in partnership with others, our mission partners around the world, including Nicholas Haydock now training in Gloucester to be ready to translate the seed of the gospel into new languages, so that, as it were, other birds can make nests in the branches of the tree, which is the kingdom of God. Well, we saw with that Olympic diver, Chris Mears, that something small and unpromising can have unexpectedly amazing results. And Jesus shows that this is very much the case with God's loving kingdom rule. The parable of the growing seed shows us that the seed of the gospel has power in it and it will produce growth, so we must persevere. And the parable of the mustard seed shows that the beginnings of the message of Jesus were very small, and so often things begin small throughout the age of Jesus' church, but in the end, there will be something huge. large numbers of people of all backgrounds, all languages and cultures from all over the world will know and benefit from Jesus, the one who gave his life as a ransom for many and then rose again in order to open up the way to the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two little stories which in some ways seem insignificant and mundane, and yet we thank you for what they point to. We thank you for the power of the gospel, and we pray that you'd keep us believing in that power. Help us to keep on sowing and give us that perspective that one day the kingdom of God, your loving rule, will be all-encompassing. So give us strength, keep us persevering, and encourage our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.